If Leverkusen loses this, this will be the biggest breakdown in the history of it, of the Bundesliga. That's where we are.
Hi and welcome to the German Fußball Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Fjørtoft, and as always joined by Jan Fjørtoft. Just a reminder, we are available on all available platforms. Please subscribe, review, leave a comment, whatever. We always love it when you engage with us. So without further ado, then Dad, before reminding the audience, welcome to the show. You are in Manchester, I believe. Tell us about your weekend, and the weekend will continue, so to speak, into a busy football schedule for you this week.
Yeah, it's a busy football weekend. I started with the Manchester derby between Manchester City, Manchester United. What a game it was, and what a decisive game it was as well, with a great start with a Rashford fantastic goal, then Foden on fire, and unbelievable miss from Erling Haaland. I will try to explain why I think it happened. Is that when you get so much time on the ball, you decide which tool you're going to use. He uses his best tool, is your left foot, and you got so much time that if you had to do that instinctively, then you could probably use your head or even your chest to get it over the line. But being Erling, no, I saw when he came into the halftime, because I was standing there because I was doing something for TV. There were some Norwegian swear words, I think, going around. But again, Erling showing that when he comes out, doing his great second half, get that goal, which is a relief and a joy for him. And with Foden, I think a couple of times, Foden is not De Bruyne, because I think sometimes Foden could have found Erling better because his great runs. But a great win for them. And then, of course, I will post a photo where I'm sitting watching that game, because I had Leverkusen, of course, this game in Köln. I had that on my iPhone when I was watching the game. And today, I am actually going to Sheffield, where I used to play. Sheffield United are playing your Arsenal. Big favourites, Arsenal, going there. But I got an ambivalent thing, because I want my former club to win. I want Martin Ødegaard to get the points. Can't happen today, but I hope we will have an intense game at Bramall Lane, and then it's the Champions League coming up. And Marcus, and I think that is the bridge to our German Fußball podcast, because there could be a decisive game on Tuesday with Lazio Rome in Munich, being 1-0 up before that game, and could be a decisive game for a guy called Mr. Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah, I get the sense that it very well might be that we have a special episode that might come this week following tomorrow's results. Now, Bayern have been in a terrible run of form. Last time they played Lazio, they lost 1-0. That proved to be their first back-to-back losses in 4 years or so. The rut continued. Eventually, following the loss at Bochum, Tuchel was dismissed, albeit to the summer. Now, I've been thinking that with this Tuchel staying on for the summer, and you hear reports of Tuchel maybe feeling a bit freer as such, but you would, best case scenario was, here Tuchel is, here the players are, they have nothing to lose. It's more so, let's all leave with a good impression, so to speak, and then let's see what happens. But then, on the other side, and I've been chewing on it, I'm thinking, but where is the benefit for Bayern to keep Tuchel on? And whether they win or not tomorrow, let's say they win against Lazio, okay, then you're in the quarterfinals. By the way, they haven't advanced past the quarterfinals since they won the Champions League in 2019-2020. So, okay, let's say you get to the quarterfinals, but then you're kind of delaying the inevitable. And it seems now, following a performance against Freiburg too, which it was hardly inspiring, as such a draw seemed fair. Yes, you had two wonder goals by Tell and Musiala, but where does it go for Bayern rest of the season?
I think the idea was to stop the speculations. They're doing what a lot of clubs have done. Barcelona, he will stay to the summer. Liverpool, he will stay to the summer. And Bayern Munich, he will stay to the summer. So I think that was the that was in fashion in terms of clubs doing that decision. Secondly, I think that is also a breakup like this. There are two parties. I don't think Tuchel was quite desperate to be fired. So I think that could be a compromise for him as well. Okay, it was maybe not a misunderstanding, but it was not an understanding. Thomas Tuchel didn't fit 100% to Bayern. Bayern didn't fit 100% to him. On terms of the leaders, the management of Bayern Munich, they will probably see that being a great brand, being a big, big company, they can't keep on firing coaches because that will, at the end, also come back to them. So it's just only 1 year ago they tried that tactic with Julian Nagelsmann, didn't work out. We talked a lot about the championship that year, but they got that. But it didn't work out in the cup, in Europe, in European cups. But let's see now. It's 10 games to go. It could be this as some Champions League games. And mind you, because we could do a special episode if they get knocked out by Lazio. On the other hand, the Champions League tournament this year is not the best tournament we've had. If you see all the teams who are left now, you see where they are on the table in the different countries. This isn't maybe a year that one team can go all the way without being a fantastic team. So say Bayern Munich now knock out Lazio. There is another game, Dortmund, who won against Union Berlin, which was very important for Edin Terzic. But they play PSV, and there's 1-1 in the first game, so they can go through. Then they can. The draw could be in the quarterfinal, Dortmund for Bayern. Then they are suddenly in the semifinal. They have good enough players to even win two games in a semifinal, and so on and so on. So I think that it's reasonable, the thinking, the analysis of what Bayern have done. But in practical, as you're saying, they won the first game against Leipzig. That helped a bit. But in Freiburg, that was one of they were 2-1 up, 3 minutes to go, and Höhler scored equalizer. 2-2, and then you knew that it was all same wrapping, same shit, so to say, because that was typical Bayern this season, need to be said. A lot of players not playing at their potential, and I say potential because I've said it before. I think a lot of players are a bit overestimated, and then Leverkusen took the chance, and so on and so on. Another problem is as well, Marcus, is that in some clubs there are internal candidates that could take over. So you can say that if Klopp said that I'm leaving, not now, I'm leaving now, Linders could take over. You have that kind of guy who's been there for a while, got a profile, being in the media, being at the press conference, and he's seen, done a book, and so on. But Bayern Munich don't have that. The latest is now Lothar Matthäus. He said that maybe Hermann Gerland, the legendary assistant coach who's been there for ages, could come in and do the last 10 games. But whatever they do, Marcus, I think it's just makeup. It's just makeup of this season. And I guess when we take the bridge to Leverkusen, as you will probably do soon, I think that a lot of people thinking that the season is lost anyway. So why should they start getting a new guy in?
Yeah, it will be a really interesting summer because it will be a massive overhaul needed. It's just rather remarkable seeing a Bayern team that has been so dominant, absolutely stripped of confidence. There is the lack of self-belief there. And you see someone like, we've been keep harping on Kimmich, and I know he has a hard time in terms of how I review him. But he was really struggling at right back as well in that game, and which also begs questions or invites questions for, well, what is Nagelsmann going to do with Kimmich at the Euros, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a lot combination of factors. I think it needs a separate episode in terms of the overarching kind of issues and all that's come with it, because it is a result of seasons on seasons here in terms of their league performance, in terms of points per season, et cetera. This is something that hasn't happened overnight, but something that has been developing ever since Xabi Alonso came in is a growing, more confident, more astute side in Bayer Leverkusen, who, despite not playing the most convincing games in their derby against Köln, win 2-0, 10 points ahead, that 10 games to go. looking at that Leverkusen side, you think, yes, they have that label, Leverkusen, etc., and they haven't won the title and stuff like that, but there is some a solidity to them that makes me think there is they can mess it up that badly, basically.
No, they can't. And maybe if we did the definition of roles in this podcast with you, your master education, and me with my education, I shouldn't start with the maths now. But here's the math. There are 10 games to go. They are 10 points ahead of Bayern. And they got a better goal difference as for now. Meaning that Bayern got to take 1 point more than Leverkusen in every Bundesliga round. In every Bundesliga run, in average, they have to take 1 point more. Meaning that Bayer Leverkusen, a team that haven't lost for 34 Bundesliga rounds, need to
Before in
have
all competitions.
in all competitions, need to have a breakdown. Is that likely? No, it's not likely, but still. Say that Bayern of those 10 games will win seven. That could happen because I spoke with Pep Guardiola yesterday after the game. I had an interview with him and we talked about these months, March, April, May, when the great teams get going, when the great players get going. So say that Bayern wins seven of them, meaning they have 21 points. Okay, Leverkusen then need to make 11. In 10 games, they have to make 11 points. That is three wins and two draws and five losses. Where we are now, as we speak, Marcus, Monday, midday, if Leverkusen loses this will be the biggest breakdown in the history of the Bundesliga. That's where we are in terms of winning a trophy. So the likelihood that this will happen is not there, but it's still there. Because as for you and me, especially for me, that have followed Bundesliga like for a generation, we can never say that Bayern Munich are gone. So Bayern Munich have a mountain to climb. Are we sure that they will win seven games? No, it's nothing to show on the recent form that they will. Of those five games, of 10 games, there will be home games, there will be easy games for Leverkusen. But what I think that you said right, Marcus, at the beginning, there is something about they are so solid, Leverkusen. So it's maybe Bayern could end up, wow, we are the superstar, we are the super club that everybody have seen the last 11 seasons. But even then, there is no reason to believe that Leverkusen should lose it because there is some, even in this game, I was watching it on and off because I had to follow the Manchester Derby. So I was watching, they were 1-0 up and Köln had a couple of chances, still playing with a player less, have to be said, a red card after 14 minutes for Köln. But still, when they got that 2-0, it was so, yeah, of course. Grimaldo doing that 2-0 after Frimpong's goal. You just felt, yeah, of course. And sometimes that is onto the players as well. The players believe that we will do this 2-0. And there is no reason that Leverkusen, it's more likely that Bayern is losing it because they don't get the performances expected to them. Leverkusen are more predictable in their performances. And I think that's what speaks for them at the moment, absolutely. And that is, of course, the understatement of the day. But still, I think when you have one hand have the Leverkusen never win anything, and then you have Bayern who wins everything, you will always think, oh, there is a chance that Bayern will get back. So I'm not sending a trophy to Leverkusen now, but you saw again, you said it was a derby against Köln. Yes, it was a Köln that is desperate to get points. And still, Leverkusen just take a trip down the Autobahn and pick up 3 points.
Yeah, and I pointed out yesterday, but in terms of the narrative around Leverkusen, I think there is something different to it when you go from challengers to expected champions. So that does something, whether you like it or not. The reason I think also that they are protected from that is that they have Xabi Alonso, I think, has this just very calm demeanor, has an aura to him, of course, where he knows and he will express that to the rest of the group. And I think that trickles down is nothing is secured. Calm, let's do our thing and see what happens. Archie was interviewing Xhaka yesterday. I'm a big fan of Xhaka, obviously, but you see having these profiles within a team, and Xhaka said it as well in his interview. I was there last year with Arsenal, in which we were 8 points ahead or something. And so I think from you have those experienced players there in the group that makes them a completely different profile than what a Dortmund were last year when they lost out in it. There, it was always in the back of our thoughts, yeah, but Dortmund, could they? Here, I just think you have those profiles in place. And now Leverkusen, of course, they have the Bundesliga t title. They're going to Azerbaijan this week to play Karabakh, who they also played in the group stages. So they have the Europa League in mind. They have a derby actually in the semi-final of the cup in a month against Fortuna Düsseldorf. So we'll see. You're just waiting. Like, can you go through an entire season pretty much on a high? That's what remains. While for Bayern, only 4 points ahead of Stuttgart, Dad, who won 3-2. Guirassy with another brace. Now you're thinking, wow, Stuttgart most certainly in the Champions League, and with performances like that, maybe even a Hoeneß, Sebastian Hoeneß, could be a candidate for the Bayern job.
Yeah, I tweeted yesterday, but I saw that 4 points at the table, and I said, I wrote something about Sebastian Hoeneß, just 4 points after Uncle Uli. And maybe the new challenger for Leverkusen will be Stuttgart. If they pass them at the end, that will be unbelievable. And of course, he will get up to off the list to be Bayern manager. I think that is a No, not a secret that Xabi Alonso will be their candidate. But even there, Xabi Alonso, how calm he is in press conference, it's not like he's saying, I don't want to comment on this. It's just like, no, this is nothing to do with me. I'm here concentrated to be a Leverkusen manager. Yeah, but are you a Leverkusen manager next year? Again, I'm just talking about, and he's so credible when he says that. I mean, that is because they all now try to link him to Bayern, of course. And there are some of our colleagues who try to go into his head and say, what's Alonso prefer, Liverpool or Bayern Munich? I've said it along. I've said it. I say it again. I think that he will stay at Leverkusen. I'll be maybe wrong because it's just based on the analysis. I'm not in the head of Xabi Alonso. I just know that the environment at Leverkusen is fantastic. They have Simon Rolfes. I've talked about him before. He's a head of sport there. They got a great setup at the club as they are a team of the Bayern kind of company. So let's see what's happening with Stuttgart. Stuttgart again winning convincingly, doing their stuff, and I like the way them as well because Wolfsburg away. This is a strange game, and it was a strange game, but they still managed to go there, do with Wolfsburg under pressure, Niko Kovac under pressure, their manager, and so on. So Stuttgart is up there, and it's neat. I'm not saying that they could book their Champions League ticket now, but they are getting closer and closer now. But it was a good win for everybody. Leipzig winning in Bochum, Dortmund winning at Union Berlin, what took a bit pressure off Edin Terzic, of course. So it was a good round for the Champions League. And even Frankfurt winning, Marcus, against Heidenheim. So that was a great win.
Yeah, it was. I'm looking through my notes here, but in terms of Frankfurt's win there, it was their first win in six in all competitions. They needed that, an absurd own goal in which a pass back led to a rather unfortunate bounce to which the goalkeeper missed, and it went straight into a goal. You mentioned Leipzig there. It wasn't until Rosso was forced to put in a triple substitution, and he brought on the likes of Openda and Paulsen, who did make it 2-1 and 4-1 respectively. You had Hoffenheim beat Bremen in a kind of a battle for Europe, actually, as Maximilian Bayer scored a brace for the second time, or the second game running, as he did in the Dortmund last week. And Dad, you'd spoken to Alex Rosen, I believe, about Bayer, haven't you?
Yeah, Maximilian is quite interesting because in a time where we say that Germany don't have a number nine, here is a 21-year-old scoring goals for fun. It's good timing as well, because in these days he is thinking of which to nominate in the squad for March. I don't think there will be a lot of experiments in this game for Julian Nagelsmann, but maybe he got the space to put a 21-year-old to just check him out. So then Germany, it looks better for Germany. Talking of a German national coach, I'm in a hotel in Manchester, and I was training, and here we go. Suddenly Hansi Flick was standing next to me, and we talked a bit football. That was fun to see.
He didn't give you any. He didn't give you any indication where it was headed, no?
No, it was just training. We both are in an age where training is more important than speculating about clubs at that moment. But it was great to see him again. He's a candidate on so many jobs around Europe at the moment. He's spending his time, like a lot of professional coaches doing when they're out of football. They're meeting colleagues, they're seeing some German friends around in England. So it was great to meet him. But Maximilian Bayer, Alex Rosén, again, done a great job. We'll see. I got a feeling that they need to sell them in the summer. 21 year of age. Hoffenheim got a tradition of selling, developing players, selling them for a lot of money. And Alex Rosén, their head of sport. I played with him in Frankfurt, of course. So he's done a good job again, and it will be a good deal for them. Talking about Frankfurt, yesterday I also met Tore Pedersen, the Norwegian. I played for it, Eintracht Frankfurt. So it's been a Frankfurt weekend. This weekend we were after the game sitting with Alfie Haaland, Egil Östenstad, myself, and Tore Pedersen. And a young Norwegian striker, Marcus, and it was not Erling, who could it be, playing in Spain, and it was not Alexander Sørloth. Jørgen
Strand Larsen, yeah.
Jørgen Strand Larsen, and I rate him very highly, and I told him that. I said that I like the way he's developing. So we had a great football weekend. It was the Norwegians together yesterday, Marcus.
Yeah, sounds like a very stimulating and a little throwback for the glory days of the Norwegian national team heyday there.
Not only that, when I meet Tore Pedersen, we always talk about the times at Frankfurt. We talk about the old stories when we had to fire a couple of coaches, and people say, what do you mean you have to yeah, we did, and I think I've told the story here before, so I won't do that again, but it was always good. I've always been grateful to Tore Pedersen. He's an agent now for some players, some coaches, but he always says that I was his first signing, because he was a center half for Eintracht Frankfurt, and he managed to talk Gernot Rohr and Frankfurt into take me from Barnsley, and he talked me in to do that the same, Marcus. So that's the reason we sit here. So Tore Pedersen, we say hello to Tore Pedersen for putting up Frankfurt for us.
I reckon what we'll do is maybe during the off season we'll have some stories that you can tell from the Eintracht Frankfurt time, because they are.
Yeah, we should have Tore on talking about those stories, because Tore is a good storyteller, and sometimes he makes the stories even better. And I think, yeah, okay, go for it, man, and he does. So great guy, very grateful to Tore Pedersen.
Shout out to Tore. Before we conclude that, I want to get your opinion on something. It is related to a game, a rather absurd game as such, because Darmstadt, bottom of the table, played Augsburg. Now, Augsburg scored 5 within just 29 minutes, basically, of the first half. So 5-0 up. Ademirovic, actually, 2 goals and an assist. He's now on 22 goal involvements in Bundesliga, only behind Harry Kane, actually. Ademir's got 14 goals and 8 assists. Philip Tietz scored a brace as well. They kept their first clean sheet of the season. But that's not what stole the headlines. It was following the game in which Augsburg had obviously thrashed Darmstadt, and a fan of Darmstadt is there. It's making it's made been making its round on social media. He's on the field and he's shouting them out them while the players are just looking down, just heads down. I don't know what they're thinking. I maybe have an idea of what they're thinking. And then it was the discussion. Well, is this right? And well, this is why we love German football. And then this is bad, etc., etc. What do you make of the whole incident, Dad?
Well, you know, I was a player that always searched the close contact to the fans. Even as a manager, when I was a manager of Lillestrøm, I was a manager for the Norwegian national team. I always looked for that connection with the fans. So I think that I say that as a background because I got an ambivalent relation, so to say, to these kind of incidents. Because I think a lot of this is show off. I think that there must be other ways to do it, and especially in Germany, where the members are very powerful, they could influence elections. They could influence decisions made by the club, which I support. I think that is a great idea. So, but there is a history now in Germany where, first of all, the fans managed to stop the investor deal, point one, stopping the games. We talked about that the last episode. I think that there should be other way to do that. The ultras or the fans will probably say there wasn't another way to do it. But we also have to define who are the fans, because there are fans that are sitting in front of the TV, not even there, but so on. So I'm saying my point is that I don't like those kind of incidents, because I don't think that, well, maybe the players deserved to listen, but they still got that possibility, that power in the stands anyway. And we've seen that before. We've seen it with Hertha Berlin, had to go over always to their fans. We had an incident in Schalke a couple of seasons ago when they were actually going after them, quite literally, physically going after their players. So I'm not sure that German football got this under control, but I just want to say that in a principle, I think that I like that the engagement of fans. But I think it's all about finding the right platform to do it. For me, this is too much show off. What I learned as a manager, when I was a manager, I don't think that my main arguments, I remember at the end when I was the manager of Lillestrøm and we heading to relegations and we had to do something to stop them. And I remember I was kind of talking about the history of the club, what this mean to a lot of people, but I didn't feel that I got all the way into the soul of the players. But then at the end of the season, I think I broke a code because I managed to tell them what consequences that this will have for every individual. So what I try to say, Marcus, is that I'm not sure that to be done by as the players were there, I'm not sure that that would help them. I think a lot of these players will think, to be honest, oh, hopefully I'm not playing at Darmstadt next season. I think that is the fact, and I don't think that was the right effect. And the guy standing there doing this, I'm 100% sure that he got a right the heart the Darmstadt heart at the right place. So, but I think that we should find a platform somewhere else, because in negotiations, in peace negotiations, there is never, ever a time when to humiliate the other part is a key to the best result.
Yeah, I personally found it a bit too performative. I found it. I mean, what makes German football unique is that fan element to it. I just think a line has been crossed when you bring the fans onto the grass as well. Fair enough if the players went up and had that discussion with the fans in the stands, but it's something about there are certain boundaries to be drawn. And like you say, with even the best intentions at heart, I think there are better ways to do it. Before we conclude, Dad, just a reminder of the zweite Bundesliga, because let's just put it this way: Schalke beat São Pauli, who are top of the league, but São Pauli have established, earned themselves a relative cushion, 5 points ahead of Holstein Kiel. Holstein Kiel only managed to draw to
So
Hertha
everything was ready
Berlin.
for Hamburger Sports Verein.
Everything was
Home
ready
game.
at home to Osnabrück, bottom of the table. Osnabrück are 1-0 up in the lead. I think it's 1-1. Osnabrück get a man sent off. It's a draw. But then
Yeah, then they lose. Is it a penalty, isn't it?
there's
Is
a penalty in
it?
the pretty much the 90th minute. A former Bayern player Cousins actually scores in the 89th minute. But 1-1 it is. Here I'm looking just to get my facts right. 1-1. And then in the 76th minute, Osnabrück gets a red card. And then, yeah, and then come the 89th minute, Osnabrück score on a penalty, and Hamburg lose 2-1. I mean, even with Stefan Baumgart there, it seems like they can't get rid of the
To be,
curse. So.
we have to need to be said that Hamburg is turning into a joke because it's so typical Hamburg. This round, like you were saying, first of all, the whole team in the same area, St. Pauli in the city, Kiel just outside with the ferry to Norway, and it's all there around. They're losing points, they're losing a game, so it's all up to Bayern. No, sorry, to Hamburger Sportverein to just win that game. And it was that I'm at the stage now because I grew up following Hamburger Sportverein, one of the clubs that were very good in my when I turned into a football fan. And now I just follow them to kind of confirm the joke. It's like a joke. You were thinking that they will win this game 5-0 and he coach at home. He won his first game. But then it's a typical Hamburger Sportverein. You know that here we go again. And we talked about it before, Marcus, on the positive side of things. I mean, Leverkusen, I think we are so good at the moment. We just play solid. We will win this game. But Hamburger Sports, the HSV players, they will think differently. They will think in a negative way, here we go again. So when they get a man sent off, they will or the team, the Osnabrück will get a set man sent off. The Hamburger Sports fan said will think, oh, now we get an excuse again. This will happen again. So terrible. São Paulo 100% up. And then we'll see who will be the second to remind the listeners, viewers, two teams going directly up. The third position will play the third last in the Bundesliga in a playoff game, home and away. Will probably be a Hamburger Sportsman, and they will probably lose. And I've said that 100 times at our podcast history, Marcus. But if I'm now going to be the 57-year-old, that I think that there's only one game we haven't talked about. That is Mainz, who played 1-1 against Gladbach. That's the only game we haven't been through. They have another bull, Mainz. They were quite okay in the last game as well. That was still against Leverkusen. But Bo Henriksen is his name, isn't it? Another bull at the club. So I think that Mainz could find maybe me one of the make a great escape at the end of the season.
It will be interesting to see. We have the three there in the bottom. It will certainly be two of them that go down. I'm just seeing now in terms of the time and stuff like that. But that, as always, a pleasure speaking through the Bundesliga round with you. You have a wonderful week. Well, as we will see German teams in action in Europe. And then let's see if we catch up in the middle of the week for a Tuchel update.